Blow out world star before rap. You already know that. So fresh prince, they are about to bring the show back. Listening to Kilo, we can cost a kilo. Hair so long, I'm about to bring the flow back. Phone call, gotta say mushy 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 mushy. Girlfriend acting all wishy washy wishy washy. It's your birthday, make an earthquake. Fell in love with a nigga like a mermaid. That's the first date, nobody think about it, worst case.
Worst case.
Best case, we the front page,
front page.
10K on the first day,
first day.
Yeah, motherfucker, take your phone out
to record this.
And nobody can ignore this. I'm more or less individual, making movies with criminals, trying to get them residuals. When it all go crazy, when I hear that action, I'ma be Scorsese. My nigga, hold it horizontal, man.
Yeah, my nigga, be
more like evil. When I'm looking in the mirror, how flies this Negro? She on Hollywood and Vine, thinking that she Hollywood on Vine, making movies with her friends all the time, showing off her ass, that's a net twerk. But I saw through it like a wet shirt. Drive slow, cause you might swerve off it. Still eating the hate so saucy. Twitch rooms in my roommate's coffee, and got more likes than a white girl talking. More hits than a fight comp, when they fight cops didn't stop. When I heard shots, watch a dude drop from a clock, got a let me flash on them. We all big brother now. Little sis, let her run around. Money talking, you not sad. Brr, money counter, brr, AK, brr, cell phone, brr, hello?
Yo, bro, man, check out that video I just sent you, man.
Song by, on Drake's, oh, hey.
No, it's cool. What song was it?
It's a song on Drake's new mixtape. Let me look it up.
Okay, okay. Well, what's up, everybody? We're back again this week with the Slew Life Weekly Update. My name is Dean Muzina, and tonight we are joined by the lovely Alanis Ballsbury.
Oh, hey, hey, that's me, lovely.
So tonight we'll be going through the usual gist with a new guest, and then we'll also probably talk about some other things that have happened this week, some good, some bad. Just as like a forewarning to everyone tonight, whatever I say or whatever Alana says is our own entitled opinion. It in no way should impact anyone negatively. So we'll just jump into it. This is the Slew Life Weekly Update. As you all know, we focus on the Slew community here, as I keep dropping my notebook. We focus on the Slew community. We're composed of 7 Slews and 2 themed homes. We have the Modern Foreign Language House, Sage. And then we also have the Interfaith House, Peace and Justice, Citizens of the World, Tree House. And I'm missing one, aren't I? House of Spiritual Athletes.
Yes, yes.
It's hard to sort of envision like walking down the street anymore because like that's where they would be.
Right.
Our 2 themed homes are the House of Black Culture and the Honors House. But tonight, we are joined by Alanis Ballsbury, who is the moderator of the Modern Foreign Language House.
Yep, yep.
So, Alan.
Yes, Dean.
We're going to go through some basic questions, and then we'll get to the more fascinating things.
Yes.
But for the audience and for their sake, could you just like run through MFL's mission statement and like basically what you guys do?
Okay, so the Modern Foreign Language House focuses on linguistic diversities, differentiating cultures. A lot of people have this like connotation that we're only about language, but we do so much more than that. Like, we added something to our house mission about the exacerbation of languages because like Nancy Ransom, she went and studied a minoritized language in China this summer, which was hella cool, and how they're kind of being demolished by the English language, kind of a more social justice-centered idea.
That's dope.
Yeah.
That's dope. And how many members are currently in the house?
We actually just got two more new members, so we're at full capacity at 10.
Are they sophomores, juniors, the new members?
Yikes. I believe Kaylee is a junior.
Okay.
And Audrey is a sophomore.
Welcome to the community.
Word. I love you guys.
So, of the language or languages that you speak, which one has the most significance to you currently or relevance?
I'd say currently Spanish is the one that is most meaningful to me right now, because I'm kind of like at a point in my major where I'm realizing that like I want to help minoritized people along with minoritized voices, which alongside of that is like the Spanish community, Hispanic community, Latina. So, yeah, I definitely say Spanish. And also, it's a really weird thing. I can only really understand Spanish.
Really?
I can't speak it back because it's too hard to, like, come up with that vocabulary, like, on the spot. But I can, like, sit there and, like, laugh along at what someone says in Spanish. I'm like, I get that. And they're like, oh, yeah, say something. I'm like, no.
I can't. No.
You don't want that.
So, Spanish... But what languages do you know, like, fairly well? What are you more fluent in?
I'm most fluent in Spanish.
Okay.
So I'm just not fluent speaking. It's just hard to come up with stuff. I'm also pretty damn good at Swahili.
Okay.
And then I like to say that I know some French, but...
I think everybody likes to say they know a little French.
I just know how to rap, like, one song in French.
It's tough. That's it.
Yeah. But it's so pretty. Like, it just, like, blows out of you.
It is. It is a language of love. So, has learning multiple languages ever, like, been a challenge? Have you ever done, like, more than one at a time? Or did you just sort of space them out correctly?
I think I definitely spaced them out, like, perfectly. Okay. Because my family traveled to Mexico a lot for my dad's job when I was younger. Okay. So I've been having those Spanish roots for a long time, but I took it through high school. And then when I got here, I tested like what foreign language I would have to learn.
Mm.
And I got into like the 300s of Spanish. I was like, fuck, like, no, I can't do 300 levels of Spanish here. Like, that'll actually be the death of me.
Right.
So I did Swahili because I was like, YOLO, swag, Gucci. And it was so fun. Like, it opened my eyes to all the, like, diversity.
I'm trying to think. Oh, Grace was really good.
Yeah, Grace Thompson.
Grace Thompson was really good with Swahili.
She went, like, all the way.
She did. She did an independent study last spring.
Yeah.
I remember a few stories about that. But, yeah, she had a good time with that.
Yeah, it's a really cool language because it doesn't sound like anything else you've ever heard before.
Yeah.
And also the professors are hella chill, like...
I've heard they're pretty great.
Yeah.
One of them's Dr. Quay, right?
Dr. Quay, yeah. And then Ali Skandor.
Okay. Yeah, I know we, like, kind of tapered down that department last year, which is a damn shame. The budget cuts were too real.
So, yeah.
Too real. So, other than MFL, you're also involved with Pitch Black, Our Ladies.
Right. Word.
A cappella group.
Mm-hmm.
What's in store for Pitch Black this year?
We're really going with, like, a new direction. We're not going to ICCA this year.
Really?
I might have had to check with someone to, like, release that news. You know, like,
we can
big campus ideas, you know.
We can take care of it here, keep it on the just in case. Yeah.
Yeah.
Low-key, though.
Yeah. So, we're not going to ICCA, but we're doing a Residi recording instead. So, because my freshman year, Maeve and I, we both went and did ICCA, and then we also made a CD, and we, like, outweighed the summer because Maeve Nash is the president this year, and I'm the music director.
Gotcha.
We were like, CDs were hella more fun. Like, you're not under so much stress. You don't have to, like, advocate all this time out for rehearsals and stuff like that.
You guys could do, like, a Christmas CD.
Oh. God, no. But we can't, like, do, like, more gigs around Delaware, too.
And, right. Like,
was something that we've always wanted to do, but we never had the time for.
She talked to, like, Restoration Brewworks and Stas.
Oh.
They'd both be game for, like, I know Stas does, like, open mic, like, an open mic night kind of thing every week or so. I know Restoration's like always trying to get like students involved because I've been there a few times with Maddie and it's just like all townies. Like nobody really has like the guts. Nobody really has the guts to just like walk in there on
a
Friday
Restoration's
night.
Dude, Restoration's is so good. Like have the you food, had their like appetizers?
The food is
bomb. Holy shit. Oh
my God. The food is bomb. Yeah. And like the beer is also like great. It's not like Stas quality.
Yeah.
Stas is still above them. But
if you get a little sampler, you can get, you know, find something you like, give a little
right.
buzz.
But the one edge that they have over Stas is food, which is pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Definitely. I always order Jimmy John's to Stas if I
right,
can.
Yeah.
So whatever.
Or they have the food trucks out in the back. Have you had the pierogi truck's food? Oh my God.
I've seen it back there, but.
They were back there this past weekend, and Maddie and I went and grabbed some food from them. We had 3 pierogies over a wilted cabbage salad, and it was just like
shit.
It was like heaven in my mouth because let me tell you something, I ate way too much Chartwell's food that week and it was awful.
Understandable.
Yeah, the food trucks are pretty good. They've got a like okay lineup. There's like a noodle truck, a pork, like they do porchetta one night from a different truck, and then they do pierogies, and it's good.
Wow.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
Food trucks are like.
That's a Debbie Downer about it.
Yeah. It's like, give me $10 for 3 pierogies that cost me $3 to make.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's like.
It's such a trend now. That's why they're charging so much.
And there's like a lot of love that goes into the food. Like, if you're going to work in a like kitchen the size of this studio, like, I give you all the props because I work in a regular size kitchen and I can barely handle myself.
Yeah. I couldn't be that close to my coworkers.
You know. Like, no. Anyway, so back to some other questions here. How has living in MFL positively or negatively impacted your linguistic abilities? Because I know that there are multiple languages in the home.
Yeah, totally.
So that can always factor.
Well, I mean, I've had nothing but a positive experience living in MFL.
Okay.
I mean, community-wise, you like have some ups and downs.
Right.
But like about learning and being knowledgeable about social justice issues around linguistics or culture.
Okay.
It's been totally positive. Like, I can learn phrases in Chinese from my roommate sophomore year, Nancy Ransom.
Right.
And Yvette Rubio, she could have taught me, like, Russian. She taught me the alphabet. I learned a French rap song on my own.
That's pretty tight. Wait, but Yvette moved out, right?
Yeah, she moved
out.
Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
She wanted a different experience. More power to her.
Understandable.
Yeah.
Some people just, like, get a little tired of it.
Yeah.
Or,
it's,
you know, something else.
It's tough living in a community. It really is.
It's not for everybody.
It's not. I can say this from my privileged point because I live in a single with my own bathroom. Mm. So, like, I can say that it's tough, but it's not tougher than living with another person in a shared bathroom.
Right, yeah.
I did that freshman and sophomore year, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, we all put that time in.
Yeah.
We some of us still do, some of us don't, and that's cool. But, Flipping hair, combing hair, whatever it may be. So how about, I mean, we're both seniors here.
Yeah, word.
What are your plans, and do they involve any of your knowledge in other languages?
So I got really interested in community development this summer.
Cool.
I'm actually starting like a volunteer program out of Woodward coming up soon.
That's pretty dope.
It'll be the Bishop Pacer Initiative.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So I'm really interested in like getting these minoritized communities kind of like getting them programmed and doing fun things that they may not be able to do that like Ohio Wesleyan could realistically fund because so
interesting.
That involves a lot of ESOL ELL students,
right,
families who are primarily like Spanish speakers or French speakers. So yeah,
that's pretty sweet. Awesome. That's very exciting.
Yeah,
jealous. I'm currently still trying to put myself together and get this directed reading wrapped up. Next week I'm going to the Cognitive Development Society in Columbus to present this huge poster with Dr. Bunnell, and I'm just
my soul.
She's
Dr. Bonneau.
An angel.
She really is. She, oh my God, I can't
so
even.
So supportive, so everything.
Understanding. Yeah. Very understanding.
10 out of 10 advisor rating. Like
Sarah Bonneau, if you're listening to this, you rock.
Right. Yeah. I told her to listen tonight, so maybe she didn't. I was just meeting with her at 5.
I'm putting off the paper that I was supposed to write for her yesterday to do this show. So maybe...
It's in good faith, Dr. Bonneau.
Yes.
It's in good faith. Anyway. So yeah, we're presenting that next week, and it's just like starting to finally like be like real.
What's
like,
it about?
It focuses on autobiographical memory. And how internal states language factors towards specific, overgeneral, extended, or overgeneral categoric memories. It's pretty intense.
You have to like collect your spit back because it was
it is a mouthful, and it's got me stumped right now for a second. So I'm trying to like collect everything and reword it. But
that's really fucking cool.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Wow.
So last week on the show, I talked about my disdain for the fact that men cannot simultaneously be affiliated and live in a SLU.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was extended a possible bid from Sigma Chi.
Really?
Which, for other circumstances that we won't talk about, was taken back. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I was trying to work around the fact that I would stay in IF and be a brother.
Yeah.
And I spoke with members of headquarters that were there all week tabling. I'm sure you saw the dude in the glasses and the other dude in the glasses.
Oh, this was recently?
Yeah, this was like last week.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I sat down and talked with them, and they're like, you know, we see no problem with this. Like, you can stay at IF and, you know, do what you need to do. We'll give you, like, a sort of special status where you don't have to show up to all the little events and you don't have to be at every chapter and something like that.
Word. But
I ended up speaking with certain administrators. And, sorry, I just got a text from my cousin.
Hey, Diana.
Danielle, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, Danielle's listening. I don't know if Di's listening, but Danielle's a loyal listener.
Ugh.
She likes to listen. She's in the studio. She's working on her final touches to a massive, massive painting. We're all very excited for her, and she just texted me. She said, WTF, that's your research. That's awesome. Why are you not helping me with my paintings? Your knowledge could be very useful.
Shitty cousin.
Hit me up, Danielle. Anyway, wait, what was I talking about? Oh, the Greek life stuff. Yeah. So I was extended the bid and for other reasons taken back. So I like spoke with said administrators, and they were like, both of them were like, look, this is out of my hands. It's in residential life's policy, and there's nothing we can do about it. If you accept a bid to Sigma Chi, you have to move into Sigma Chi. And I was like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, and what Res Life policy does it say that you
there
have to
is
do that?
An explicit policy within Res Life that states that if a young man is to pledge a fraternity and the house is not over capacity, that they must live inside of the fraternal home. So last week I made it my personal vendetta to make it apparent to administrators that if we want to bridge the gap between SLU life and Greek life, men should also be given the equal opportunity.
Word. Yeah, because there's such a small like amount of men who live in the community.
And they choose frat life over it.
Yeah. I mean, both of them.
Both of them wait, but yeah. But you understand where I'm coming from with this totally. And my frustration. So I'm hopefully going to try and, by the end of the year, make it apparent. But I was speaking with Eldar, who is a Sigma Chi, as you and I both know. He and I are tentatively coming up with an idea to have sort of like a philanthropic / house project-ish idea where right now it's tentatively like IF and Sig Chi, but long term we want to get all the houses involved.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And hopefully like certain SLUs would be willing to work with certain chapters or something along that line.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. It's all just like up in the air, but we're planning on maybe doing something. What's bothering me is I saw a picture someone posted for Fiji. They're doing some sort of car wash around the hill, but Eldar's idea was to do a car wash around the hill and like have like break down the car washing process to like certain homes. Mm-hmm. So like certain chapters that want to get involved, and then certain home like slews that would want to get involved do like wash like certain parts of the car.
Oh,
and then like at the end of it, you like give like, you know, whatever you can basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd split the funds between like, you know, say like the Huntsman Fund and something maybe mm-hmm. local like Delaware Vineyard.
Word. I like that.
So there's a lot like in the books and a lot of ideas that haven't been put to paper, but I think it yeah. could be like a huge thing for this campus.
Yeah.
And like to show it to the administration and be like, look,
yeah.
this is what we have.
Yeah.
This is what is keeping something from happening. What are you going to do about it now?
Yeah. Also a huge part of like SLU and Greek life not being able to intermix is like funding for the SLUs.
Mm-hmm.
Because like Greek life is funded by their own like chapters
headquarters,
and it's kind of weird, like the money machine, but like a chapter is given amount of money to like donate to other philanthropies.
Mm.
And then those chapters are given money to donate to their philanthropy, so it's really like all of the same money is staying within the community. And then they try to invite like SLUs to like participate, and they say like pay this amount or like pay as much as you can. They've been really understanding.
I was gonna say, because events. When Delt who was it, Blake, that walked around and
yeah.
passed out flyers for
handwritten
SLUs
letters.
Handwritten letters on yeah. the back of it, like praise be, like
yeah.
hell yeah, this is dope. Yeah. And like I was the only one home for like 10 minutes, and he like knocked on the door. He's like, I'm Blake. And he like gave me this, and I was like, dude, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, we'll try and see what we can do.
Yeah. And it's just a shame that we can't, because like, we don't have like any money to spare. We have nothing to give.
If it's not house funds for a house project, it's out of our own pockets.
Right.
Which becomes a challenge.
Which also, if you look at like the socioeconomic status of most SLU students, it's like far less than any other like residential hall or fraternity or sorority in this
exactly.
campus. So
it's frustrating.
It is.
And hopefully some of these issues will be resolved with our newer developments, which we'll get to later, because we had a very exciting weekend.
Yes, yes.
But for right now, since we're at almost the 6:30 mark, we'll take a break for a second, play a couple tracks off of this continuation of one of the best albums by Childish Gambino, Because the Internet. You listen to World Star on the way in, and I'm going to play Telegraph Avenue, and then we'll do Sweatpants, and maybe 3005. I'll think about it.
Word.
But we'll be right back with the SLU Life Weekly Update. Peace out. We'll be back
later.
Girl, that's a problem, 'cause I'm way too scared to fall, and I know you choose to stay. Now, autograph. saying, here we go again. Rich kid, but he act like a gentleman. Last one didn't end like it should have been. 2 dates and I still wanna get it in. And they saying it's because of the internet. Try once and it's on to the next shit. X or the old face on your exes, right? And we can do the same thing if you wanna have at it. When your thoughts can't breathe and you're thinking that's manic. And you wanna be a mom and I wasn't mad at it. I was thinking about me, I'll be really bad at it. Cause I'm thinking about me. Weeks in Dubai, 4th of July, house in Kauai. Yeah, we can try. So let's try.
But you still don't have the time to kiss me. Just hit me. And if I left you all alone, would you still pick up the phone? It's iffy. You miss me.
I got furniture to move, and we'll both be 30 soon.
In Oakland, in Oakland.
The only one I know is you. So the fuck I'm supposed to do?
In Oakland, in Oakland, in Oakland.
That says, this nigga kept his soul from the devil. It's true.
Another
And we're back.
Hey.
We were just talking about Alana's thesis she's hoping to write. Yeah. I recommended that she talk to Dr. Kaplan because she wants to do it on the hip-hop culture and how it's influenced today. But anyways, we're going to get into the thick of it here
in a few minutes.
This weekend, were you aware of Interfaith's doing to the citizens of the world?
No. What happened? Oh my God, this is what I live for.
Okay, so there had been like... Well, first to give context, we all know PNJ and Tree's little...
The golden cow thing.
Golden cow thing, how they constantly take it from one another.
Super weird. I love you guys, but
super weird. We'll never understand it, and we know it's only between the two of you.
I feel like they don't even understand it at this point. It's gotten past like the point of return, you know?
Yeah.
They just know. Steal the gold cow. But whatever. Okay, so what did you do?
Okay, so I can't remember if it was the mission trip for Ecuador... or something else. It was a mission trip. It was a mission trip. And they were accepting any sort of contributions financially. And in return, you get to put pink flamingos in someone's yard.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw those.
Yeah.
Now I remember.
So Friday night, I got a phone call or a text from Chase. And he's like, "Have you seen?" And I was like...
What are you talking about?
He's like, "Cow has been flocked." That's what they were using the verb as.
Hashtag flocked.
And I came back. I was at 4 hanging out with Dan Sweet.
Okay.
And Maddie and Jess Choate. And we walked back. And I, to my surprise, saw like at least like 20 pink flamingos up the stairs towards the house.
Nice.
And I was just like, yes.
Let the slew wars
begin. And at the time when I was standing there relishing in the moment, I was very, very tempted, but Maddie stopped me from doing it. I was going to call like a house member and be like, "Bring everyone outside right now." And like stand there and just like, welcome.
Just like have you with like a fire behind you.
Right, exactly. like Game of Thrones style.
Oh, Game of Thrones-esque.
It would have been legit. Oh, but at the time, Maddie was like, no, you can't do this because I'm out here already. And like, it would look weird.
Oh, that's right. She lives in Cal. That's right.
She's like, it would look weird. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you're kind of right.
Foul play from your own member.
Right. So basically, the next morning, I woke up and I walked outside. And Sarah Lucas and Sam Johnson were standing outside taking pictures. And they were like, "Have you seen the yard?" And I was like, "Oh, I've seen the yard." And I was like walking away and I kind of just like over my shoulder, I was like, "Welcome to the prank war." And then like later, Maddie got a text from a housemate. She's like, "Wait, did If do that?" And I was like, "Yeah, I walked out of the house in the direction towards If and said like, welcome, but it's on." And all apparently right. Cow is like
looking
thinking
for
of something
victim.
I'm not gonna divulge or release any details in terms of what Interfaith still has lined up.
You guys have it listed.
It's methodical.
Wow. Okay, it's, well, let me add that to my house meeting agenda.
Yes.
On how to fuck up all the other sleuths' lives, you know.
Our goal is to be complete, like, not malicious in any way.
We
don't want any sort of like hurt feelings or anything over it, but it's all in good fun.
Yeah,
like,
and they always are.
And it's been a while since, like, because there was like talk, like Chase was hearing around, he was like, you know, If and Cal are like not really doing anything like inside, like comparable to like Tree and PNJ, and I'm just
they
like,
do that
they do that all the time. Though. Like, this is like a big thing for them,
right?
And we all know that, and we respect that. But like, we don't have to. But we were like, this year, we're like, we're doing it.
Yeah, it's kind of like an inside joke between them almost. And whereas like prank wars is like, you prank someone, but you frame someone else for doing it and stuff like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I don't know. There was like, I can't remember what the discussion was. Oh, it was comparable, like, you know, like the fraternities all like steal shit from one another.
Yeah.
And then, like, someone takes a composite and everybody gets upset about it. Yeah. And story, as we all know, is,
ooh,
yeah, over with. But so that's begun. And we're trying to think of new methods.
I got a sick prank lined up. So don't you worry. It's like a special emphasis on the framed part.
On who?
I won't tell.
Okay. Yeah, that would just totally defeat the purpose of it, but I am going to be looking out for it.
Yeah, it's gonna be good.
Oh, man. Shit.
I feel like I have to wait to be pranked, though.
No, you know, like, no, sometimes you have to initiate it. We initiated.
Yeah. Okay, into it. I got a guy. Okay, yeah.
I got a guy. The most concerning thing that's been said so far on this radio program.
Oh.
Okay, before we get into the main topic here, because it's only 6:35, we'll go through campus developments. Last week we had on this exact hour in the building next door, the large faculty meeting that occurs every year. Other than just like professors being worried about retention.
Yeah.
As they always are. Retention. As is. Yeah. Yeah. Or tenure.
Yeah.
The business administration major was approved, and the business management major was approved. Both of those went through secret votes. One passed 59-19, the other passed 65-8. I think it's a good thing for the campus at this point, since we are, like, very desperate for applicants and retention to increase, and it'll draw more people here, because I'm sure for the amount of tours that have gone around and someone says, is there a business major? Yeah. The amount of times a tour guide has had to say no, but we do have econ management.
Right.
Like, it's not the same to them, so I think that this is a good thing. Though it does sort of, in, like, conceptual terms, defeat the purpose of liberal arts, because we're not, like, trying to just, like, breed business majors.
Right.
But I get it. You know, it needs to be done, and I think it'll help us. In regards to that, though, before Alana and I came into the studio, I read an article on the Transcript that Denison, this school's rival, Denison doesn't consider us a rival because they're just, like, low-key, like, we don't care.
Yeah.
But we're still going to, like, keep at it. Denison recently released that they have over 6,100 applicants already. And that their admissions program just brought in the class of 2019, which is posed to be the most academically successful class year they currently have on campus. Yo, we got to do something about that.
Yeah.
Because, like, even if they don't think of us as a rival, I still think of them as a rival.
Oh, hell yeah.
So, and I don't go to sports games or anything, but I just irrationally feel like I should be
like
an adversary.
A
yeah. It's like Ohio State, Michigan, or like, you know, some people don't even watch the football games, but they still hate them.
Right.
Or like people from Ohio just
naturally hate Michigan.
Just naturally hate Michigan.
Yeah. That is
sorry,
too
Maddie.
True.
I know you like Michigan. I just had to establish that, but so yeah, 6,100 applications, and it is, I'm sorry, September.
Yeah.
And as we all know, or kind of vaguely remember, I think the cutoff for the following academic year's applications is like November.
Yeah.
So they have more time to accept even more.
Even more than that.
And I don't know if I still have the Transcript article up, but I'd really like to have it up, because I don't, but I'm going to pull it up anyways here for a second. But the admissions director was like...
I was going to say.
He was just like... Yeah, he basically, I'm going to like sound like an ass, but he was like, basically, we know that we're good, and we bring all these people in, and you guys are
struggling.
We're
the shit, we've done so well, blah, blah, blah.
This is a quote from Mike Hills, who is the Senior Associate Director of Admissions at Denison University. Our reputation as a premier liberal arts college is among the best in the country, which makes our job easier in a challenging admissions climate, Hills said. In addition to the Midwest and Northeast, which has always been good places for us to enroll high-achieving students, we've really been working hard to recruit equally qualified students from the South and the West. So instead of like sharing any sort of tactic to help a brother out,
yeah,
I'm just going to be like, you know, we're good at it.
Yeah, what can I say?
What can I say? Whatever. Yeah, like, sorry. The football team won this weekend. Faisai got a little rowdy. Yo, Faisai's 3 o'clock in the morning. Interfaith House is right behind you. Some people like to sleep. And some of them you may or may not have woken up with some of your very loud dialogue that should not have been very loud. I don't know if it's not radio appropriate, so I can't even say it. But I'll give you the details of it later because it's funny, but it's also like, dude,
like, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
love it.
In other news, this week on campus, homecoming weekend is this weekend.
Yeah.
Very,
a big deal, I guess.
A big deal for some.
Yeah.
Some care less. But it's always, you know, it's always good to see a few people that, like, you were acquainted with.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're not, like, people you were, like, best friends with. Yeah. There are some, but they, like, won't make it. Like, Grace. Yeah. Like, Grace. I don't know if Grace is going to make it. But if Grace made it, I'd be like, Grace.
Hell yeah.
We're going to the bar.
Yeah.
But, like.
Dude, she's funny.
She's so funny. Like, seriously, like, in our house, like, the constant amount of laughing that is lacking. Well, not lacking, because we all still laugh just as much.
Yeah,
but, like, just missing just missing Grace's laugh sometimes is, like.
Throwback.
Little bit of a bummer. But it's exciting. Roxanne, my mother, Roseanne. I call her Roxanne. Cloxanne, Rox, Rose, Rosie. I mean, she's dope.
Just everything.
She's going to be here this weekend because it's the last possible weekend for her to do this ever.
Oh my God, that's right. Senior year.
She was like, well, it's your senior year. Like, do you want me to come? And I was like, oh shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go out,
and
mom.
She was like, what are we going to do? I was like, we're going to the bar.
Yeah.
Like, where else would we go? And I, like, house meeting this week, I was like, guys, my mother is coming this weekend.
Meet the one and only.
You don't have to be on your best behavior because Rox doesn't judge.
Word.
Like,
gotta love those parents.
It's going to be awesome. She's going to have a lot of fun, hopefully. She's got to be able to stay up past 11 p.m., though.
Get her the senior special. Just put it a little bit later.
Right.
Slip, like,
Two caffeine pills. Good to go.
Into her coffee. You're good.
Good to go. That's, like, triple espresso in one cup. Boom.
Never mind. Don't do that. You're going to kill your mother.
Yeah, that might be a bad idea. Sorry, Mom. And then the last thing before we talk about our last little campus tidbit, I wanted to touch on this because I talked about it with Connor first week. Kim Davis is still up to her same bullshit. This is from Vice around the middle of last week. Roughly, yeah. The title of Vice's article is Kim Davis is still dicking around with marriage license, in case you were wondering. Basically, the article sums up how Kim Davis has been giving out marriage licenses to gay couples. But here's what the Vice article says. Since getting out of the slammer and back on the job, Davis has been issuing modified marriage licenses that don't include her name or title, which is the same kind of shit kids pull when they say, you told me to go to bed, you didn't tell me to go to sleep. A couple has since sued Davis for defying court orders and issuing an invalid marriage license, and on Monday, ACLU attorneys filed a motion to the U.S. District Judge to force her to use the Kentucky Standard marriage licenses. But what's even more fascinating about this article is at the very tail end where Davis told ABC that when she refused to issue same-sex marriage license to her friends because apparently friendship with mere mortals pales in comparison to her friendship with the Lord. She also agrees with the lawsuits alleging that her new modified forms are not valid. Quote, they're not valid in God's eyes, for one, Davis said. And then this is the last sentence that piqued my interest. Unfortunately, Davis failed to comment on that new erotic novella someone just penned about her time in women's lockup. And there's a link that takes you straight to fucking Amazon Books, where there is a book that is available on Kindle for 99 cents titled Kim Goes to Jail, An Erotic Story by Lilith St. Augustine. And the title's description is as follows. Satire meets sexy in this timely fate of faith, prejudice, incarceration, and sexual discovery. Kim is a simple small-town woman who finds herself thrown in jail in a dispute over religion and sexuality. She quickly discovers the importance of knowing friend from foe in the notoriously horny women's wing. With the help of her beautiful cellmate, sets out to learn the ropes. This scintillating tale of first-time lesbian sex is approximately 13,500 words and 45 Kindle pages, depending on your text settings. I'm so tempted to spend 99 cents and almost read it.
I think I could almost easily say that I would spend that 99 cents. But also, my mom calls me the, like, least thrifty person on this planet Earth. So.
Right, exactly. Okay. Now that we've had our laugh, we're
maybe
gonna...
you read that before next week's.
You know, maybe show. Maybe I'll just structure the whole show around the
yeah,
book.
Yeah, I think that I heard, like, not to bring up anything, like, problematic, but 50 Shades of Grey was read on, like, WNCI, like, a couple months ago.
What?
Yeah, oh, but that was shitty. But let's get some Ken Davis, like, oy. Get that in here.
Oy.
Heat it up a bit. Put on some Marvin Gaye.
Oh, my. That'd be crazy. That'd be so crazy. Okay, so this is the biggest thing that happened this week, and thankfully we have someone here whose name is Alana, and she knows, like, almost all of the details to the context of it, but last Friday at 5 p.m., the members of the SLU community were invited, along with the rest of the campus, to a groundbreaking ceremony for the new SLUplex duplex building that will be built where House of Thought once was. Now, as we all know, there have been a lot of mixed feelings about the entire process that Hot was put through. And we are all in agreement that the administration did not go about that as well as it could have been handled.
Right.
That renewal should have been done before new members were welcomed, things like that. Everybody has the gist of that from the past four shows I've done by now. But we had this groundbreaking ceremony, and certain members of our community did not look at it as positively as some of us did.
Right.
We'll leave names of homes and groups out of everything that we're talking about right now. But basically what happened was, you know, Rock Jones welcomed us all. Mm-hmm. Alana, Riley Reynolds, and Kayla Johnson also had a moment with the microphone to talk about the history and the future of SLUs and the present time. Along with Rock's remarks, Emma Drongowski made very good remarks. But Rock, as always, murdered it.
Killed it.
Great speaker. Like, as great as he is and as awkward as he can be one-on-one, like, you put him behind a microphone and he's just like, boom, done.
I think that's what most politicians are like.
Yeah.
I feel like.
But that all went very well.
Yeah.
And before festivities began, I was talking with Alana and Riley, and there was rumors the whole week that even I had discussed on Monday, last Monday's show, about certain homes showing up wearing all black.
Yeah.
All black in significance and in relation to former House of Thought.
Yes.
I understand that a lot of people have been lamenting over this process and having a hard time with the fact that a home was torn down. But I think that this was taken too far.
Yeah, definitely.
There's definitely a very big separation in SLU community right now between who thinks that this is great, what's happening, and who thinks that this is like an abomination.
Right.
And there's no real gray area.
Right.
Because those people have finally decided what polar opposite they would like to be on.
Mm-hmm.
I myself find this to be extremely beneficial to the to the community. I think that losing House of Thought was a bummer. But that we all do keep in mind every single year that our renewal process is a competitive process.
It is.
Nothing is ever guaranteed to us throughout the entire year. We're only here for a year, and then we renew again.
Right.
And you have to kill it with renewal.
Mm-hmm.
Which...
Which they make aware to us.
Right.
They let us know.
They make it very clear that this is what is dependent on your house's future.
Mm-hmm.
And we all do the house projects and, you know, whatever we need to do to present it to them and make it clear that we're still a vital part of this community.
Right.
With that said, House of Thought did not meet those requirements.
Right.
Very clearly.
Right.
Now, we understand that the whole renewal process and the demolishing of the house was poor timing, just terrible, terrible timing. But at this point, the way that I look at things is that everybody has our best interests in mind. And one of those interests is getting us out of these old homes.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we love these old homes and as much character is in all these homes, they're not fucking livable
anymore. They're not livable. They are. I've had multiple members have to move out of my house because of mold allergies or things like old pet dander.
Right.
Like that's, you can't live in those environments.
Right.
I love my four brick walls, but.
Right. There's going to come a point where it's like, goodbye.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And like, you know, there's examples like P&J last fall had one bathroom for like 3 months.
Yeah.
And there are 18 people living in that
right.
house. 18 people to one toilet and one shower is like, I'd lose my mind.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Like I said, I have my own bathroom. And blessing.
But, you know, again, you know, we understand that the administration did not pay as much attention to these homes over the past, 50 years.
We recognize that.
We recognize that. And the administration is, they acknowledge that. They know that that's a problem. But at this point, it's too late to worry about that.
Definitely.
So these new homes are being built, and I think it's great because you know why? We'll have air conditioning,
right?
And we'll have
future
members will, unfortunately.
I'll always remember this pain of being sweaty in my bed.
Right. Yeah. But like air conditioning, plumbing, like sealed windows that will hold heat and air in, and like
keep stink bugs out.
Right.
Oh my God.
Which, why are they here now? Have you noticed that they just started coming back?
Yeah.
Oh, those bastards.
Well, I just let them be. I'm like, if y'all aren't going to bother me, then like do your thing. But then if like one of them lands on me, I'm like,
right. Maddie had one. Chance. Maddie had one last year land on her pillow, and it's been a war ever since.
Oh.
So it's
like a vendetta kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
to each, you know, can't charge the entire population.
Right. Yeah. But in regards to all this and the fact that, you know, these people came in black to this event. I think that I ultimately found it as a lack of respect towards the administration and the efforts that they've put forth specifically to us.
Right.
They could have easily taken this $7 million and built another fucking frat house.
Right.
They could have done that and then what? But instead they all acknowledge it, and all these board members are like old dudes.
Yeah.
And they finally understand that, like, this is a community that is vital to this campus. We need to do something about it to keep it alive.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to get rid of us. It's not to edge us out. It's not any of that.
Right. It's specifically for the SLUs.
But we still have people that think that there's some sort of angle they're taking.
Right. I guess I see their frustration. I told my house, I was like, you are allowed to wear whatever you want.
Right. Yeah. No one's going to stop you.
I will say that, like, there is a part of the community that's wearing all black, and I don't know what that's for. I don't know if that's, like, this silent protest, but they're doing that. If you want to do that, I'm not going to judge you. That's your own thing. But to come with such, and this also stems because I talked to a member of the community earlier that day who's called it the sluneral, and I said, you don't call it that, especially after I've put in hard work putting this event together. Like, Kayla Johnson put in hard work putting this event together. Riley Goldsberry, Rock, like.
And Dean Goldsberry knows everything.
Dean
Goldsberry knows exactly why those people were dressed that way.
Yeah.
If anyone thought that she didn't, you are so out of it.
Right.
Because Dean Goldsberry, as far as I know from people that have told me, Dean Goldsberry knows every single thing that happens this weekend, any weekend, or any day that something big happens.
I'm pretty positive she has this campus wired. Like, she is all knowing.
She might be listening to this right now.
Dean Goldsberry, I just want you to know that, like, I really cherish our relationship. No, but she is really, like, she's really awesome.
She's and great.
When we first sat down to have this meeting about the groundbreaking thing, she was like, I want it to be all about you.
Right.
I want it to be wholeheartedly SLU community.
Mm-hmm.
And then she extended the offer to write the speech, and we said, well, we want to make mention of HOT. We want to, like, say about all they've contributed.
Mm.
And she didn't shoot that down. Like, she, right. like, prompted us. She was like, well, I think you should put out the beginning to, like, go from past to future, you know? Like,
yeah.
I thought that was just really respectful, and she didn't, like, demolish our thoughts about HOT at all.
Right. In no way were you guys censored in any of this.
No. Not at all. I mean, we were, like, our speech was revised.
Right,
but
yeah.
Not, like,
I mean,
censored at all.
Right. But, but yeah, I think that this whole thing is still being taken very out of proportion, and... You know, the discussions that I've had at home with members of WCSA and said others is, you know, if you think about this in 3 years when we're gone and yeah. then like the 2 years before us that have been here and know what's going on mm-hmm. are gone, no one's going to know a freaking thing.
Right.
No one's going to know anything.
It's going to be like a little blip on right. a like note card.
A funny note, though, Emma Drungowski was, where was she? It was somewhere, she was surrounded by freshmen, and they were talking about HOT.
What?
They were like, yeah, like, this is so shitty that, like, HOT is gone. I'm just like, I was like, Emma, please tell me you, like, stopped them and said something to them. She's like, oh, yeah. She's okay, like, good. Oh, yeah. She was like, you know nothing.
Yeah. You know nothing, Jon Snow. Yeah, it's just a part, oh, God. Okay.
There's so many, like, stemmed issues off of
okay,
this.
Okay, this is going to sound shitty to people who are in the SLU community who are listening, but... if you take offense to this, but like there's such a different versions of like activism within our community. Like there's people who go out and they live their activism, and then there's
yes,
people who
give
sit
them
behind
this
a
example.
Screen.
Give them the example. Just so, just straight up. Tell them what Sally Lieber told you.
Bless you, Sally Lieber, for giving me this. There are three. No, there. Okay, technically there's four types of people in this world. There are volunteers, there are activists, and there are advocates. So. Volunteers are going to walk by a dirty river that's filled with trash, and they're going to go clean it up, and they're going to take care of the problem. The activist is going to go to the source of where the trash is coming out of, and they're going to tell them they need to fix their shit, they need to clean it up. And then the advocate is going to write letters to Congress or the local government, whatever, and get it to be cleaned up. And then there's people...
People like, below that standard.
People below this standard who like to sit behind computer screens, who like to take pictures in all black and call it a slunerel, and just be a burden on everyone else who's trying to do good for your community, and they like to just shit on everything because they don't want to actually confront problems. They want to just push it under the rug, but then be big talk to all their friends. Like, you're not helping anyone. You're not progressing our community at all. Boom.
Thank you.
Welcome.
That's where we're gonna end. You got the last few in there. You all got right. the last remark in there.
Yeah, I'm like out of breath because like my heart.
Yeah, I'd be amped right now after yeah. that, but
it's just a problem. Like, get out there and like
actually do something.
Like, if you feel that ill towards administration, then like go speak up.
Yeah.
Don't
passive aggressive.
Yeah, don't be passive aggressive. That's yeah. like one of the SLU community's biggest problems. Actually, anybody's community yeah. on this campus is passive aggressiveness.
And you know, if HOT wants to come back, no one's stopping them from renewing.
Yeah, totally.
Just keep that in mind for the rest of this week. That's yeah. that's the last thing I have to say.
All right.
It's been a pleasure, Alana.
Yeah.
It's been so fucking real, and it's been perfect as it always is.
I love hanging out with my dad.
Everybody, it's been a hell of a week, and it'll be a hell of another week as it goes by. I hope it goes well for all of you. I'll play you out a few seconds here of something else. We were listening to ASAP Rocky. We switched gears there earlier. Alana was like, we got to listen to that. I was like, all right. So I think we'll stick with that. I think we'll do Excuse Me.
Oh, God, yes.
Right?
Oh.
Right?
Okay.
But this has been the SLU Life Weekly Update. Catch us back next Monday, 6 p.m. The archives will be updated. They're currently updated from the last couple of weeks, so there are like two new episodes. This one will be on probably by the end of this week. My name's Dean. We had Alana on tonight, and we'll be back next week. Thank you for listening.
was fronting on niggas back in the days, man. You know what I'm saying? Excuse me. Fuck out my face.
They
you know
say wealth is in the mind, not the body.
Shit, bruh, bruh.
I learned that from a very wise man.
Yeah. Okay, excuse me. Mr. Bill Collector, I got problems. My check arrived manana. I'ma pay my debt, I promise. I spent $20,000 with my partners in Bahamas. Another $20,000 on Rick Owens out in Barney. I said, excuse me. Why the fuck you looking? What's your problem? I swear we gon' have drama if you touch my telegarments. All you see is niggas here, so that mean this trick is there. What you mean? We got weed and codeine and bricks for sale. I bet a lot of niggas plotting, so you know I got that heater, bruh. Slide my side of all them, catch me riding with my Nina, bruh. She got an apple bottom that remind you of Anita, bruh. Oh, you mean like Q-Tip? Now that girl my new bitch. Excuse, no, I believe the proper terms excuse you. I could switch up on you niggas and start shit.